Hello and welcome to Mellow Pod from Not Often Heard. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
And this is the show where we take a look a little bit more in depth than we ever could on the radio show, at Melody Festival and at Sweden's show to pick their song for the Eurovision Song Contest. So, folks, we have reached the semi-final stage, but what we traditionalists like to call Andra Hansen.
Second chance.
It will always be second chance to me, because there's nothing new here, is there?
No. Not really.
We've heard all this all before.
So, could we get this over and done within 5 minutes, maybe? Okay.
I mean, we can try.
Have opinions changed?
I think it's kind of good to kind of reflect on some of them, because I think from our experience, and this is something that I think is carried over from Eurovision, is you never get a full appreciation of a song until you've heard it a few times.
Yeah, that's true.
If you think about, I think it was Ukraine's entry a couple of years ago for Eurovision. Was it Shum?
Yeah.
Goa, yes.
You know, first time you hear it, I think I, like most people, was just thinking, what on earth is going on with this performance? But as you've sort of heard it a few times, you sort of learn to appreciate it, and I actually really love the song now. So I think it's a good for us to be able to kind of hear these songs again and see what we definitely remember, whether it actually works better or whether we actually still kind of reserve it to kind of the pits of Belfast history.
What's a grower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this week they were in a place called Ervik, for short. Everybody seems to call it Ervik because obviously the name's, you know, takes too long to say or something. and from what I can tell from the Google Translate subtitles, it's very cold where they are. and ice hockey is a big thing there.
Okay.
So lots of jokes about that and long scarves and stuff. Right. And we also had a bit of a surprise guest in the postcards, Emil Hönrön, from last week.
Didn't
qualify.
Yeah. He was doing the postcard bits with Farah, you know, the kind of 60-second quick-fire question stuff.
I thought that worked quite well, actually. Mm. He's very charismatic. He's got a good presence. He's easy on the eye, which
very
also
easy
helps.
On the eye.
So it's, I thought it worked quite well. And I thought, ooh, they seem to like him. Are they lining him up for a bit more for next year, maybe?
Because it felt a bit odd that Jesper wasn't there doing that with Farah, but it could have been that he was busy doing other things.
Yeah.
As we see later, he does a VT. And like you said, maybe it was a bit of a an audition almost for next year's presenting team.
Yeah. Mm. I thought the producers have got their eye on him.
Mm. Right, as is traditional now, we are going to have a recap. So, here we go. Teos, Mir of Day. Mariette, One Day. Diamonds, Victor Krona. Tennessee Tears, Now I Know. Rag and Gore, Elov and Benny. Melanie Weber, For the Show. Slep Alasoya, Nordman. Kiana, where did you go? Right. So that's where we found ourselves with the eight songs which came third and fourth in their respective heats. Now, being the sad person that I am, I have watched the second chance performances alongside their original semi heat performances to see if I can spot what's changed. Because this is, you know, it gives them an opportunity, doesn't it?
To think,
okay, we didn't get in the top two slots. What can we do to try and push us a little bit further and get up that leaderboard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have, you know, we often see some acts choosing to tweak things and switch things around. So let's start then with song number one, Teos, More of You. Mark, what did you reckon?
It's another really solid performance from him, isn't it? I didn't notice anything particularly different in this performance. But yeah, I think this song really cements Teos as one to watch for the future. I don't think we've seen the last of him in Melfest. I think he'll be back in future years. And I think, as much as it pains me to say this, I do think that if he sung in English, he probably would go even further than what he has done.
And I have no doubt that there is an English version of that song ready to roll, should he win. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're right. Looking at it side by side with his semi performance, almost a carbon copy of what we saw in the heats. Mm-hmm. There is just one extra set of pyros. I thought there was more, but the mind plays tricks.
Yeah.
And actually, it's in the last 10 seconds, there's an extra blast of pyro that's been inserted. Otherwise, right. it's almost identical to what we've seen before. He didn't really feel the need to change a hell of a lot by the looks of it. I would agree. It's a great pop tune. It's turning into a bit of an earworm. It's going to be a great summer track, I think, as we said earlier. Matt, what did you think, Alex?
I didn't notice a massive amount of change from his original performance, but I maintain what I think I said last time. You know, I think it's definitely a really good performance. And I think he actually should have done a lot better than it did.
Yeah.
No, not much has changed. You know what they say: if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, and considering he came from Heat One, which we thought was one of the weaker ones.
Yeah.
Strange that he didn't get to direct a finale, perhaps.
Yeah. I think I will say this overall for these eight songs, I was pleasantly surprised at how strong they all were. When I think back about the heats, and I think, was it a great year? I'm not sure. But these songs I thought were all fairly solid and strong. But then, you know, they did come third and fourth, so it's not like they were terrible in the heat.
Far from it. let's move on to song number two then. Mariette, One Day, and we saw Mariette just the previous week, so not a big gap. Now, this one is actually quite different.
Yes, we got that.
Yeah.
I mean, remember what we said last week? We went, it's all so beige and bland. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure SVT do not listen, and Mariette in particular does not listen to us.
You never know.
But it did make me wonder, have they looked back at that and maybe, you know, had some feedback that they have seen and gone, and it's been similar opinions to what we were expressing last week, saying, it's not bad, but yeah, it just feels a bit flat. The performance needs something. So we've got more close-up shots of Mariette at the beginning. We've got low-level smoke, you know, dry ice covering the stage, whereas before it was completely bare, which didn't help.
I think the dry ice did help.
And the fact that you've got all that dry ice, it kind of diffuses the light on stage and gives, and I think that the temperature of the lights has been turned up. It's more orangey, it's more warm, and the sweat and the diffusion helps that, I think.
Yeah, and because all the everyone on the stage is wearing like white and but again those beige, the light just bounces off those outfits and gives them a bit more warmth and personality than they did before.
She's also got one extra dancer, and the costume, have you noticed, has changed slightly?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got those lovely, like,
gold shoulder.
Yes, her cape has got gold bands on it. I mean, Alex, has any of this helped change your opinion of the song?
I think so. I think it is those little details that can completely change a performance. Adding those lighting changes has really helped, adding the extra special effects with the dry ice, and even the way the dancers make the use of the set. Last time we saw this performed, I said, oh, they've got this cool sort of minimalist set piece that just felt out of place and there wasn't a lot of use to it. But this time, you know, the dancers, particularly near the end, are making much more use of it. You know, they're sort of climbing up and down it, they're sliding off of it. They make much better use of it this time round than they did in their original performance of it. So it is definitely a step up.
What about you, Mark? You feel similar?
Yeah, I do like the song, and I think Mariette is a class act. I really do. She's a great singer and a really good performer. I just, everything just felt lifted. Even I think even down to her makeup was less beige as well. I think there was a lot of kind of like cream tones and like very, you know, it just seemed, it was just a bit bigger and brighter and bolder.
Yeah, the whole thing feels warmer.
Yeah.
And it did feel like Mariette was a little bit happier with that, the performance. She's, you know, she's really into it. Not that she, you know, looked miserable last week or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, you can see she's having a really good time up there. And she's pleased with how it's going and everything.
Yeah. It was just a really good example of not massive changes, little tweaks here and there, just really lifting the performance.
A bit more atmospheric.
Good word.
On then to song number three, Victor Krone, Diamonds. He's also a Heat number one act. Kick us off, Mark.
Do you know what? Again, I think it's a decent song. I felt like it was well performed. I like the song. It's quite catchy, nice beat. I'm going to say I think there were changes, but I'm not entirely sure. We felt that his placing on the stage was a bit more refined. Like he's got that light in the background, and we felt he was much more central to that. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was slightly off his mark before. And maybe we thought, certainly this is what I thought anyway, that the light seemed a slightly different colours going through in the background. But I might be making that up completely.
There wasn't a lot of difference. He's had a haircut. I picked up that.
Well, it has been a month, you know.
he's not got a wired mic now. He's gone wireless.
Okay.
So that was another thing I spotted. There's lighter smoke now. I don't know if this is a side effect of what Mariette was using, but whereas on the original performance, the smoke was a bit more dense and contained, you've got a slightly lighter covering over a much bigger area of the stage. But as I said, I'm not sure if that's... Because this seems to be something that I followed right through the rest of the show. This smoke lingers. This dry ice. Or every act is just deciding to use this, and it's kind of... It's not... When you look at a black background, you can see that slight haze over the top, whereas on the previous heats, it was a very dark jet black, and it's very clear with no smoke. So it feels like it's all kind of lingering and doesn't really clear for the rest of the show. but in terms of the lighting, the only thing I could spot was towards from the bridge onwards, he's got more bars and less sort of white blocks on, okay. on his performance. So the graphics were tweaked, but I couldn't really spot anything else.
Fair.
Alex, is he a diamond in your eyes?
I feel like, you know, the song itself was fairly catchy. You know, I liked the song initially, but I don't know. Apart from, I don't know, was there a change in colours in the original performance? Because I don't remember.
Not that I could you see. Know, I watched it side by side and there's been no real change in the colour palette that I picked up on.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember whether he had the yellows and blues that he were incorporated in the lighting in his original performance. So...
I believe so. I didn't spot it. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
I guess that kind of speaks bucket loads about how much I remember about this song, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of those, not a bad song, but does it really stand out? Not sure.
No. Well, we're rattling through. On to song number four, halfway. Tennessee Tears, Now I Know.
Now I know that I really don't like this song.
Yeah.
None of us are like, yeah, I've changed my opinion. Is it still meh? Not our taste.
I mean, I quite like country and western, but for some reason, I'm just not feeling this. It's just not singing to me. And I like country and western. I'll come out. I'm a country and western fan, but it's just not doing it for me. I don't know why.
Yeah. You feel the same, Alex?
Yeah. There hasn't really been much change to it, you know.
You're right.
There isn't much chemistry. They both look a bit of a mess.
our friend said that the lead singer looked like a really rough David Tennant.
Shame.
Yeah, it was basically like Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born, but with like none of the chemistry and half the talent.
You know, it's well sung though.
Oh yes, you can't deny that.
As a performance, they are good.
Yeah.
You're right. There is very little that has changed here. I picked up on the fact that it started on a close-up shot of him rather than a two-shot of them, which makes more sense because he's starting off and singing, you know, the first few lines. As I mentioned before, the smoke is really lingering across the stage. You can see it. I don't know if that's deliberate or if it's just a side effect of the previous acts. There has been pyro inserted. There's a pyro curtain at the bridge now. So that obviously changed. Yeah. So that obviously means a few more wide shots just to get your pyro curtain in. You know, if you're paying for it, you want to be seeing it on screen. No,
oh,
don't you?
Absolutely. Sure.
But other than that, yeah, it's pretty much as we saw in the heat. Okay, we will move on to song number five then. Ilov and Benny, Rag and Gore. Oh, I love this. I still love it.
Yeah, me too.
I like it.
It's so fun. In terms of changes, they've added some colour to the neon signs. In the black and white photo at the beginning, the neon signs, there's more colour. You know, the cars are lighting up and the neon signs are flashing.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you just got white lights. So they've added splashes of colour to that. And later in the performance, when you've got the kind of triangles, you know, going up and down the walls at the back, they were just plain triangles, the kind of red warning type triangles. They've now got little things in them like hot dogs and burgers and sauce bottles and things like that. They've tweaked the graphics a fair bit, actually just adding little bits and pieces, including a big picture of their face at one point. And the hot dog booth, when they go and, you know, get some hot dogs towards the bridge of the song, that's actually now lit up, whereas before it was in shadow and you couldn't really see it properly. Maybe it was just the light failed or they forgot to switch it on. But now you can actually see it properly. It's lit. And pyro speaking, we got Catherine wheels. Instead of the front pyros, we've got Catherine wheels. Did you change your opinion on it, Mark?
No, I mean, I think it's, if anything, it's grown on me. I liked it when it was from Heat 1, wasn't it? And I liked it then. It wasn't my favourite, but it's such a good, fun performance that you kind of, it pulls you along and you are happy and they are happy and we're all happy. And I like the little hand gesture dance move that they do, which everybody can copy.
Yeah.
You got to love a bit of handography.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Is it going to be making it on your playlist, Alex?
I think so. I think it's certainly catchy enough that, you know, it's going to be stuck in my head for a while.
It is making me hungry now. I think I want a hot dog with some crunchy onions.
It's like the Jennifer Coolidge line from, was it one of the Legally Blondes? She's like, I want a hot dog real bad.
On to something a little bit more sober. Melanie Weber. For the show. Alex, you want to go first for this one?
Again, it's very small, subtle changes, I think, in this one compared to the original performance. Mm-hmm. You know, they've added in that kind of those like copper accents onto her outfit, and you can see it in the makeup as well. So it just gives her a bit more kind of a bit of personality in the sense that there's a bit more warmth. And originally quite a solemn kind of black outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, nice touches, that kind of theming.
Did they also change the colour of the cooling tower in the background?
I don't believe so.
Okay, because at one point in last night's performance, it went kind of like a dark red colour, and I really don't remember that from the semi. And I think we all commented on it when we were watching last night. Oh, I think that's new. But again, the memory plays tricks, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it could have been me missing it, because I'm trying to kind of make notes and look at two screens at the same time, flicking from video to video, trying to work out which, because I've got them in sync, so it's fairly easy to spot. Yeah. But you're right, I could have missed it. It did feel, again, it's the smoke thing. I keep on going banging on about it, but it's the kind of diffusion of the light and the smoke that's been added that seems to be helping on it. No massive changes that I could spot, other than, like you said, you know, the copper accents on the costume. And she just absolutely belts that note out towards the end, and it looks to be having a great time. It's still an excellent performance.
It's a great performance, great song. I really like it. It's a good one.
Well, we are rattling through. We are on to song number 7 then. Nordman. Let Go of All Sorrows is the translation of the title.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think any of us were massively enthusiastic, were we, when we first heard it?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but it still feels very much like a karaoke-esque performance.
I mean, if folk pop isn't your thing, then, it's not something you're really going to pay too much attention to, I guess.
No. No,
it's not even that folk pop's not really my thing. It's more of a case of it just felt a little kind of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Amateur-ish?
You guys go on to me about being mean.
Yeah, you can't describe Nordman, who've been around you know, a couple of decades now. It's amateurish. They are good performers.
Well, oh, yeah. It's just like you're saying that, like this karaoke kind of thing. It's, yeah, I don't know. It's, again, it's not a terrible song. I just don't think it really stands out that much.
But it's obviously standing out with the televoters because it is.
Oh, yes.
It's hoovering up
it is.
Points.
It's like, it's sucking them up, isn't it?
You know, and it's a song that's in Swedish that we don't often see get to the final. You know, unfortunately, the English language songs tend to dominate and the Swedish language ones tend to drop out. So it's nice that we're getting that in there. Obviously, there's clearly an appetite out there for this kind
there
of
is.
Music.
Yeah.
With the Swedish population, if nobody else.
Yeah.
In terms of changes, there's very little. Lots of dry ice on the floor. They've done a Mariette again and just flooded the stage with dry ice. And I can't really spot anything else.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we ready to move on to song number 8 then?
Yeah.
So. We are 25 minutes in roughly and we're hitting song number 8.
I know. We're almost as efficient as the Swedish were last night.
So, Kiana, where did you go? And again, from last week, so fairly fresh in our minds. Mark, are you going to go where Kiana is?
Yes. You know, she can be my hairdresser and ask me, where did you go on holiday? Anytime. I think I really like the song. It is a touch repetitive, but I do like it. I think it's very catchy. The, you know, all the effects and, you know, the lightsabers, the light bars that the backing dancers have.
I would
have liked more of that lightsaber effect, for want of a better word. I just think it's really effective and I want more. But it's a good song. I like it. Yeah.
You feel the same, Alex?
I can understand why some people would like this song. It's got a good beat to it. It's well performed.
But
I just don't think there's been much that's improved on it from the last time.
No, you're right. Very little has changed. I think the choreo with the sticks has been tweaked very subtly. And one particular part, it's more noticeable. We've got the colours seem to have been amped up a bit. We've got a bit more pink in there. It was present before, but it does feel like the colours have been ramped up a little bit and a bit more blue put in as well. They just kind of turn the contrast up a little maybe. Otherwise, it is pretty much what we saw the previous week. Really not a lot of difference here. You know, if you're happy, why, you know, there's no reason why you should start playing around with it.
No.
Well, that was our 8 second chance songs.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of interval business. Pinilla.
That was good.
Goes into the Hall of Fame. After her debut in 1985 with Piccadilly Circus.
I really like that song.
Looking very like Sam Fox, predating Sam Fox's look. And of course, Pinilla is Benjamin Ingrosso's mum.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and actually, Pinilla, one of her dancers, is the person she actually married.
So
his mum and dad are there. I think he's, judging by Benjamin's hairy arms, I think he's the dancer on the left with the hairy chest. Is his dad. Shot in the dark, that one. And then we had an artist that's been quite successful in Sweden at the moment. Lucianos did a dance band cover of Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah.
And it's been suggested that we're going to be seeing him again next year.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it was an interesting version. It was like kind of like a lounge singer, wasn't it? It was very mellow.
Yeah, that apparently that's his thing, and he's doing quite well in the charts.
Right,
with that kind of music at the moment. Personally, I prefer the original, but hey.
Well, yeah, you know, we know how we feel about different versions of bangers.
Don't
mess with the bangers.
We also had a little tribute to Krista from After Dark. And After Dark is a drag queen act who performed in Melfest in 2004 with La Dolce Vita, which is a really good track.
Oh, it was such a good performance, that was. It was excellent.
Loads of queens coming on and performing it as a tribute, and they changed the lyrics slightly to mention Krista. And I thought it was really nice. Clearly moved by it.
Yeah, did you think it was a bit of a cynical ploy because Drag Race Sverige was starting straight after Melfest?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's premiering. I think it's today, in the Sunday, it actually starts.
We watched first 15 minutes of it last night.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realise it was carrying on straight after Melfest.
Go on, Alex.
It was straight after.
Mm. Was it entertaining? And obviously there's a language barrier, did you have auto translate?
We were watching it on WoW Presents Plus. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Oh, right.
It was on that, so there were subtitles.
Oh, okay. Well, they may have trumped SVT because I read everywhere that it's premiering Sunday night in Sweden.
Oh, okay.
So they seem to have jumped the gun and made it available on WoW Presents a day ahead of everybody else.
Ooh.
Yeah. SVT would be online.
Can I just say about the Interval business? There was that guy that came on. Was it Fuad Yousefi? Is he some sort of statistical expert?
I think so, yes. There was this weird thing about stats.
Yeah.
And stuff, which I don't quite understand.
No.
But I found
it quite fascinating. I was very geeky about it. I thought, this is good. I like this. I like a bit of stats.
Show me the stats. Give me the breakdown.
But, I mean, he knows what he's talking about.
He's probably the guy that does the elections or something in Sweden.
Yeah, probably.
They did this weird thing, though, which I'm not sure quite worked, where they paused the lines and then they told you, if we were to basically decide now, these are the four acts that have got the top scores, and they would tell you. And then they reopened the lines. I can kind of see that gives you an incentive to then vote again.
Yeah.
And when you bear in mind they are raising money for charity if you call the premium number. So the more votes they can get, the more money they raise for charity.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see it from that point of view. But it just felt like when we get to the actual results, it's almost an anticlimax. Because I can't imagine it changing massively.
No.
So,
slightly strange.
And again, a different approach was taken to delivering the results this time. Whereas we normally go through the age categories, don't we? And they reveal who gets the 12, and then you get all the other scores coming up on the graphics, and you can see the leaderboard and how things are changing and people moving up and down and who's kind of dropping out of the qualification zone. None of that. It was all just let's move through the categories and let's announce who's got the 12, but we're showing you no graphics whatsoever.
I know.
So you've no idea how the other songs are ranked, who is currently in the top, because you know even though you're not getting 12s, you could be sweeping up 10s from all the categories, and that could mean you're still in the qualification zone. Just because your name's not being read out doesn't mean that you're not doing well. It was just really odd. Did you think it worked?
It was weird how they did that statistical thing and then said, if we were to do it now, I think, like you say, it was almost like when they then did reveal the winners, it was like, we kind of guessed, really, because of what you did before. I like the leaderboard. I want to see the people moving up and down.
Yeah, it kind of robbed us of a bit of tension, I thought. It's a bit sad.
Absolutely, yeah. Bring it back next year.
So, When all the dust has settled, we find that Teos, Nordman, Mariette, and Kiana are our top four. And going through to the final next week.
Cool.
Anybody you would have subbed there?
Well, I'll let Alex go first.
Oh, we might have a small problem with Alex's line.
Yes, I think we've lost Alex.
I'm here.
Oh, you are with us.
I don't know what happened there.
top four.
For the most part, I would say I'm not surprised by who got through. If I had to swap any of them out, I would probably swapped out Nordman and Kiana for, I would say, Melanie and... Ooh. I thought you got too many in Halo.
I think I personally would only have... I would have dropped Nordman because it's just not my taste, and I'm torn between whether it be Ilov and Benny or Melanie. I'd want to put mm-hmm. through. I'm really probably for variety. I'd shove Ilov and Benny through on that. What about you, Mark?
I was happy with with Kiana, Mariette, and Teos. It was just Nordman, and I would swap them probably for Ilov and Benny or Melanie. Yeah,
fair enough. Well, that is it then. We have one show left, and it's the big one. So next time we'll be reviewing the final, and I guess it's. Do we just sit and wait for 2 hours for Loreen to just walk away with the trophy? Are we going through the motions, or will Sweden surprise us?
Will they?
It'd be interesting because. In a perverse way, I'd almost like them to surprise us and not send Loreen just to see what happens to fandom.
Oh, they go into meltdown. It's so much fun.
So join us next time when it'll all be over and we'll either be celebrating or commiserating.
Yeah.
Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.